What does security mean?
You can't say security means probability, because security means probability, that means if I have a 10% probability, I'm secure. Right? What? Certain amount of probability, right? So security is a certain amount of probability. A certain amount of probability concerning what? Can be concerning anything, right? I broke it down. A guy could be secure in regard to one thing, a guy could be insecure in regard to something else, right?
Right?
Huh?
Right, exactly.
No, but yeah, it's security, but it could be in far as many things are concerned, like security, right? Security, financial security, security, right? Okay. So we mentioned things like this, that all the things that a person does basically have one goal in mind, which is pleasure, right? Pleasure, happiness, right? So therefore, insofar as a person is involved in the physical, he has no security, because the physical there's no security about, right? So he only has security. The best that he could have is security as far as the means is concerned, but not security as far as the end is concerned. Whereas, what? The means, like finances, security.
What? The price of money goes down.
No, but what we say wealth is a certain amount of probability. A certain amount of probability. If he's very wealthy, so he'll never lose his money. But he doesn't know that he's not going to lose his pleasures, right? Because he loses physical health, right? Okay. So therefore, the best security that the world has to offer is security as far as the means is concerned, right? But he who has knowledge has security insofar as the happiness itself is concerned, which is the end. So the really secure person is the person who has knowledge. The other person is not secure. Okay? So the word security really is used, the security, in other words, security insofar as the goal is concerned is only in through knowledge. Security as far as the means is concerned is through the other areas. Right? So the real secure person is the person who has knowledge. He's the person that has something that cannot be taken away, right? right. In terms of probability. Alright, he is the most probable, he has the greatest amount of probability insofar as his happiness is concerned. Correct? Okay. No, it's not. No, because security by definition doesn't mean 10%. Security means a certain assurity that a person has in regard to certain things. So it must be a high probability. High probability. Now, the thing is like this. Now, when a person has, then we only meant the cycle that we mentioned, things like this. That insofar as real security is concerned, it doesn't exist because it's only probability. Right? And yet we see people that really feel secure. They have a certain feeling of security. Right? So we said. So we say that that's an emotional security. That's just emotional security. But the real, a really intelligent person can't have that security. Because a real intelligent person knows that it's probability. He knows there's still 10% chance he's going to fail. Right? He's not going to have it. So he could never have the emotion of total security. That emotion he can never have. Amen. If he does have the emotions, then it's a psychological security. Right? Yeah, then we define what is psychological security. The baby in the mother's arm. So what do we say it means? It means that he has no concern about the future. Over there means total happiness, a state of happiness without concern about the future. That's the psychological security. Right? Okay. Anything else, Mitch? Now that feeling, a lot of people get that feeling from financial security, right? But really it's wrong. That's a complete error. That's away from reality. Because that's why they get struck. When something happens, they get shocked, you know? Why? Because it breaks them out of the emotional security. What? Right, forget about 10%. They consider it as if 10% won't happen. Right? That's the emotional security, but you see, the emotional security, that emotion requires a certain amount of reality. So when the guy gets X amount of reality, so then he gets the emotional security as far as everything's concerned. But this is pure emotions. There's no basis in reality. Okay. Now, today I want to discuss one thing. I want to discuss what the... We see, apparently there's a tremendous desire in the world for materialism, right? Material wealth. My question is, if there is such a desire, it would be good to understand it psychologically. Because realistically, we say, and we see, people see that actually the financial status does not have a correlation with the person's happiness. Does not have a correlation with the person's happiness. But the person thinks that it does. Now that means that it fools the mind. Now insofar as it fools the mind, it would be good if we understood the psychological causes of why it really fools the mind, in order that we should be able to avoid these mistakes. Right? Okay. Now the first thing... the first thing we can be pretty sure about is that it's multi-determined. It's multi-determined. Because most things... See, the unconscious, the mind, works in a funny way. Like there are symptoms that are produced that different neurotics have. Symptoms. Now, every symptom that that occurs is multi-determined. Multi-determined means it has many causes. Many causes. You notice, now this is not only the unconscious, but also it has an effect in the conscious too. Because many people will follow five bad reasons rather than one good reason. You see? That's from the fact that the unconscious is multi-determined. So therefore they feel that it's right, because their unconscious operates that way. They feel that it's right. Of course the mind dictates that it's false, but in a sort of reality. But nevertheless, this doesn't stop them because of that feeling from the unconscious. Now therefore, since wealth, which everybody is so convinced is really the greatest thing in the world, yet nobody can prove it, so we could be quite sure that it comes from the that it comes from this psychological source of multi-determination. Now, in order to understand what it is, I think we have to break down each determinant, right, and see exactly what they are. Okay, all right. All right, let's start off with a direct with the most direct advantages of wealth. Okay, now. The most direct advantage of wealth, one would say, why does a person want to become wealthy? In order to have what he needs.
Satisfy his desires.
Right? Okay. So, what?
All his desires.
All his desires, right. All his desires, right. All his desires. Now, the thing is like this. There we come to that difference. Question like this. If a person just wants, you'll notice, if a person just wants to satisfy his desires, so he should need X amount of money.
Right?
Ah. But really, you'll find that the amount of money that the desire for wealth demands is the infinite amount.
The infinite amount. Right?
Right. Those who are most successful at making money, they usually live the most irrational lives, since it's an irrational thing. So the more ill the person is, the more successful he will be, because he...
That's right.
The matter that a person would not go into business if they didn't make any money is because if you notice when businessmen talk, they talk about the great deals they pulled off, but they will never talk about the great deals that failed, even though there might be just as much intelligence in those deals as in the other deals. Might be a side factor.
Right.
They say, "Wow, I just messed up $1 million deal today. It was unbelievable." Don't talk about that. Must be something else. Okay.
Power.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's get the first thing. First of all, what is money? What is the definition of money? Money is stored pleasure. Right? Because stored pleasure.
Concentrated.
Okay,
money.
Concentrated, right. Potential pleasure. Potential, right. Now the thing is like this. See, there's one advantage that the potential pleasure has to the person that is away from reality. And that is that the potential could be used in many different ways. Like, for instance, a person has $5. Now, if he goes and spends it... Oh, yes? So therefore, we said the definition of money is potential pleasure, stored pleasure. That's money, right? Stored pleasure. Now, think of it like this. The thing is like this. There is an advantage in stored pleasure over real pleasure. What's the advantage? Because if I have $5, $5 I could buy something, right? Once I buy it, it is already taken on a concrete form. I bought this thing. But as long as I don't buy it, I can imagine 50 things that I could buy with the same $5. Right? So the enjoyment in the fantasy, you see, insofar as the fantasy is concerned, the fantasy is greater as long as I don't really put it into reality. Because the moment I put it into reality, then it assumes a concrete form. But before I put it into reality, I could have 15 fantasies. Right? So therefore, a person who lives in the world of fantasy would rather have it in the potential form. It caters to many fantasies. You follow what I mean? So he's really satisfied with the fantasy.
Is he really?
What?
Is he
really satisfied with the fantasy? No.
No,
he can't. What? It's a disadvantage, correct. But simultaneously, to the mind, it seems like an advantage. See, another way of this. In reality, if you ask me who has more happiness, the guy in fantasy and the guy in reality, there's no question, the guy in reality. You see? But to the mind... the person has the feeling that he's better off this way because he's catering to the fantasy. It's an illusion, right? It's an illusion. Right. The fantasy has to be of real pleasures. You can't fantasize. Exactly right. Nobody fantasizes about fantasizing. Fantasize about the real pleasure. Ah, okay. The proof of the fact that fantasy isn't enjoying yourself is because you still have a desire for the thing. As long as you have a desire for the thing, you're in pain. You see? As long as you have a desire for the thing, you're still in pain. So therefore, fantasy is painful. You see? Ah. Now the point is this, that the potential money, which is potential pleasure offers, as long as it's in potential, it offers you many fantasies. You can fantasize, I can do this, I can go to Florida, I can go here, I can do this, I can do this. Fantasy. The moment you take it and you put it into one form, then the fantasies are over, that's it, you see? Ah. So the advantage of having money, of storing wealth, one is that he has many fantasies. Now we say, we're not trying to say which way is better. I mean, we assume, of course, that we're saying the reality is better. But we just have to define what goes on in the mind of the person who stores money, you see? Okay? You understand what I mean? Let's not say why he does it. Let's just see what happens. Okay? Now, one thing that happens is that it caters to fantasies, because as long as he has the potential wealth, so then he has many, many fantasies. Right? Okay. Now, the question is, what does that satisfy? I mean, why does he have to have all these fantasies? What does that satisfy? What does fantasy show? Fantasy shows he can't satisfy himself in reality. We're in the present. That's right. If you're satisfied in the present, then there's no need to go into the future. When does a person live in the future? When he's dissatisfied in the present. Right? If a person's totally happy in the present, so then that's it. He lives in the present. That's why it says Rish Lakish live for a day. Every day. Made enough money for a day. That's it. Didn't think beyond the day. Why? Because he's completely satisfied in that day. But the person who is dissatisfied, they constantly is living in the world of fantasy, right? Ah, so therefore, since he's dissatisfied, so he has many different fantasies. And the more fantasy he has, the more outlet for the libido there is. Do you follow what I mean? The more fantasies he has, the more outlet for the libido there is.
The more outlet for libido.
So therefore, the better off he is. The better off he is. You follow? The more outlet for the libido, the better off he is.
Even if it's only a fantasy?
Even if it's only a fantasy.
The pure outlet for the
fantasy. So things like this, you see. That's why we say, this is what we mentioned many times, that there's three different levels. There's the level where a person is enjoying himself in reality, that's one level. Then there's the next level is where a person has a fantasy, right? And then there's the worst level where the fantasies fall apart. Once the fantasies fall apart, that's when the guy commits suicide. You see? Because he doesn't have reality, he doesn't have fantasy, and he's gone. But that's why you find people who are very wealthy, you find like Hollywood stars, different people that become very wealthy suddenly, so you find many times they're very sad endings. Why? Why do they get very depressed? Exactly. As they were climbing up the ladder, the fantasy kept them going. You see? Fantasy kept driving them. Once they got up there, then they saw they had the real pleasure already, then there's no more fantasy. There's no more to fantasize, nothing more to fantasize about. Then there's a total destruction. That's not true. Not everybody can. See, some people can. Some people constantly can fantasize, but a lot of people come to the end of the road because they fantasize about having a beautiful home in California, you know, and living a great life, you know, playboy life. Then they get this life, they see they're still unhappy. Now what's next? See? I think if the fantasy... That's right, but that's not fantasy anymore, is it? But some people can go on fantasizing for a long time. About what? Yeah, the person who lives a life of fantasy is always unhappy. Because fantasy means you desire to have this, right? So you're in a constant state of desire. It means you're in a constant state of pain. Yeah, you're definitely in a state of pain. But the only thing is that you won't quit. You won't give up because the libido is attached to that one thing which you're trying to get constantly, you see? So you won't quit life, but you're in a state of pain. You understand what I mean? You're still in a state of pain, but the person will not quit because he still has a goal. He still feels when I get there, then I will be happy, you see? See, an impression from reality is always stronger than an impression from fantasy, unless a person went crazy. You see? But normally, a normal person must, if he feels this table, the impressions that he gets are much stronger than the impressions of thinking about the table. You see? Because the impression isn't there, you see? It's just in the mind. So therefore, the level of pleasure that he gets is lower, you see? And also, once he comes out of the fantasy, he's in a state of desire. You see? That's why it's more painful in reality. That's why it has to be more painful in reality, you see? That's true. Also, that's true. A person will never fantasize about fantasizing. So you see, the fantasizing itself is not a pleasure. Right? The fantasy. That's right. So you fantasize about reality. Right?
You fantasize about taking this rocket
of that's not tough. I won't fantasize about fantasizing. He won't fantasize, in other words, fantasize, oh, I'll be able to fantasize. See? That he won't do. Because he knows, because that's already, he knows that the fantasy itself is nothing. That's too far gone already. See, the fantasy has to be one step away from reality. Two steps away is too far already. So therefore, you see that the fantasy does not afford the pleasure of the reality. It is a substitute pleasure. It doesn't afford the pleasure of the reality, and it has to have the pain insofar as even if he is in the fantasy for a while, but when he comes, he has to make the comeback to reality. The comeback to reality is a pain, you see? On the contrary, it's tremendously painful, because just like he had to go up to the fantasy because he couldn't take reality, right? Then when he's in the fantasy and he goes down, he's losing a pleasure. He's losing. It's a loss. It's a loss of a pleasure. Just like the fantasy was a gain, just as much as the fantasy was a gain, coming back has to be the same loss. So it comes out that he has the exact same, there's a pain that is exactly equal to the pleasure that he had, you see? Do you know what I mean? So therefore the pain is tremendous, and the fantasizing itself can never afford the pleasure of the real thing, you see? Okay. So we said money, first of all, gives multi-fantasies. Multi-fantasies. That's number one. Yeah. What? That's right, potential for the fantasy. Can't just stop fantasy. Has to have the potential for the fantasy. Right. So therefore we say that the person who is involved in this type of thing and putting, storing up potential pleasure, right, he's a man who is relegated, has relegated his life to the fantasy world. See? Happiness is impossible in such a situation. Absolutely impossible. He will always be in a state of pain, constantly be in a state of pain, at best. The worst state, of course, is the one state beyond that, where the fantasies stop. You see, where the fantasies stop. Because once the fantasies stop, then he has total, and then the libido explodes. That's when the guy, that's when you find these guys that become wealthy, and suddenly, like the Hollywood stars, go right up there, tremendous stardom, and then, because the fantasies are gone. What? Conscious? Yeah, I'll feel the pain, I'll feel the pain. They say the what?
There are
alarmist gods. I feel happy. Oh, we don't know. Once. I want to say one thing. I want to tell you one thing. When we say people feel happy, I think we shouldn't believe them too quickly. That's one thing we have to be very suspicious about a person when he tells us he's happy, because we really have to analyze what's going on inside. We might find there's a good reason why he says he's happy. Might be a very good reason for him to say that he's happy. You see? A lot of reasons. As a matter of fact, that might be one of the things that makes him happy. That he can say that he's happy. It's another fantasy. Right. That's right. That's why you have to be very careful. When we say a person's happy, we don't exactly take it face value. We have to start analyzing and observe the guy. He seems really happy. Right. That's right. He has to be convinced. And he wants to show others that he's happy. Part of the enjoyment is that others should be envious of him, that he should be in a good position. So he says it. Whether he's really happy or not is it different. People are inclined not to be 100% truthful in this area, with themselves or with others. Not only with others, they're not necessarily be liars, you know, but with themselves. With themselves they're liars. Yeah. Now, let's take up another point. Question is, however, if it's all fantasies, right? Okay, fine. So he could do 5 things, 10 things, right? Yeah. All right. But the point is this. Usually a fantasy demands to express itself in reality. But we notice over here an amazing thing. Usually a fantasy demands that the person should express in reality, and it goes, right, to realize the fantasy. But we notice an amazing thing. When it comes to the area of money, it's an odd thing. People do not even attempt to realize the fantasy. So in other words, I guess, ordinarily the human psyche works in a certain way. The psyche has a fantasy and then you try to put it into reality, right? But over here we notice that the guy with wealth doesn't even try to put it into reality. He's happy to leave it as a fantasy. That's a very odd phenomenon. Right? What?
Often, true.
Often very true. So we have to understand, what is this? How does this? Why should a person want to do that?
Do what?
Oh yes. Like ordinarily, we say a person has a fancy, wants to put it into reality. But in wealth, we find people who have the money, they have the potential fantasies, and they're satisfied to leave it as fantasy. They say, well, like you show them a beautiful house. I could have that. That's no big deal. Everybody has that. There's nothing. I don't. He knows he could have it, and he's happy right there. Do you follow what I mean? See? Why? That's different than any other case. Different than any other case.
That was a need to show that he could, if
the fancy
in itself,
right.
To say that I could have it.
Exactly right. That's the answer. The answer is, you see, there's something else. There's a thing called, there's a certain thing about a person called the overestimation of the self. You see? When a person is young, when a person is a child, has the fantasy that he could do everything. Child has this fantasy that he could do everything. You see? Then as he comes in contact with reality, reality is a limiting factor. Reality limits him. He sees he can't fly, he can't do this, he can't be the greatest star, he can't be the greatest football player. All these things, reality starts moving in. Tremendous, terrible thing, reality. Starts moving in on the guy's fantasies. You see? But the guy, what was the original fantasy? The original fantasy was that he could do everything. But reality starts moving in. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. It gets pretty hard. You start getting boxed in. You see? Now, the person really is striving for the state that he can do everything.
In other words, the desire is not to be able to do the thing, it's the potential.
That's right. The desire, the thought, the ability to be able to do everything itself becomes the objective. So he wants to be in a state where he could think he could do everything. Okay? He wants to be in a state where he could think. So the state of being able, of thinking that he can do everything itself becomes the thing. You know what I mean? That's why it's very satisfying to leave it in fantasy. Why is that? In an ordinary fantasy, a person wouldn't want to do this. Because in an ordinary fantasy, he wants to buy a new desk, whatever it is. Right? There, it's a fantasy. He wants to get the new desk, right? So therefore, he has a fantasy. Fantasy demands he has to put it into reality. He's going to go after that desk, right? Oh. But over here, this is one time when the fantasies themselves are happy to remain fantasies. Why? Because it satisfies something else. The desire to be able to fantasize, he can do everything. See? To go back to that early state. So he's happy to remain in a state of fantasy. You see? That's what's unusual about the situation of wealth. That's why wealth is a fantasy that operates differently than every other fantasy. You follow what I mean? Do you understand? Is it clear?
Yeah.
Another way like this. You understand it? Like you can do everything. So you can do everything. And so that's called that's the overestimation of the self. It's the overestimation of the self. He has to be able to overestimate himself. Because when he was a kid, he overestimated himself. Then reality stopped that. But the desire for self-overestimation was always there. You see? Now, once he becomes wealthy, he can go away from the reality that normal people are boxed in with. Why? Because now he could again think he could do everything. So therefore, he's happy to leave it in that state. He doesn't even care to realize the fantasy. He's happy to stay that way. No, he doesn't put it in that. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. Because you tell him, what can you do with the money? I can do this and this and this and this. Go ahead, do it. The guy'd be sick because then he's finished. Why is he finished? Why is it? Because then he can't. He's mentioned something. He says that on top of this, you find that people there's an added feature that a lot of people have, because a lot of people are raised with morals, right? Ethics. So therefore, the first chance, whenever they're always ready to show ethical they are, right? Now therefore, the guy will say, "Look, I'm a wealthy guy, but I don't flaunt my money. Right. I sit home quietly." You see? What's up, Shaq? Take away the money, we'll see how humble we'll get. It'll kill you. Why? Because the thing is, you see, he has the multi-fantasy. He has the fancy he can do. He's a great guy. He can do everything. And simultaneously, not only that, but he's humble too.
Yeah.
See? Very good. If he's put into action, he loses both. If he's put into action, he loses the fantasy of being able to do everything. And simultaneously, he loses that too. He loses humility too. Now you've won him. Next point is like this. Very good. Let's take up another point. Now, see, there are a lot of points here. I don't know if we exhaust every area. Let's take a lot of points. I can tell you one thing. That this desire for wealth, which you see, has taken over most of mankind, is something which we have to understand is multi-determined. There are a lot of forces in the psyche working. None of them real, but a lot of forces that are working. You understand what I mean? Now, the thing is that we have to take it apart bit by bit, bit by bit. By the way, this fancy of being able to do everything is also something which people, that's the reason why people question God. They say, can God do everything? Yes. Can he make a rock that he can't lift? Why do they ask that question? Very simple reason. Because this comes from their childhood, from their own fantasy that being able to do everything is great. So therefore, they ask the question about God. Really, being able to do everything is not great. But they assume right away it's great. And when they ask the question, it's unanswerable. The answer is so simple. When you get a solution to a problem, think how stupid could you be to think it's a question. You know what I mean? But the question comes from the emotional fantasy. You understand what I mean? That same fantasy that we're discussing now in regard to wealth. They ask in a relationship to God. Can God do everything? Can he make a rock that he can't lift? Those? He can't be God. See? This comes from the emotion of being able to do everything. Because in reality, that is weakness, being able to do everything, when you analyze it rationally. You know the answer. You'll know the answer to the question, right? You know the answer to what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, the question is like this. The next question is the one thing. The point is like this. That if once we say, this would answer having the wealth, having the money. But the question is, we notice something else. We notice that many people aren't just happy to have the money, but they have to go through the pain every day of going in spite of the fact that they are quite well able to take care of their finances, right? They have to go in every day and continue to amass more and more. Continue to amass more and more, you see? Now the question is why? Why do they have to do that? What purpose is it? Why do they just sit home? They have all the fantasies, right? They can do everything. You see, what's the necessity to go in and actually involve yourself constantly until they die almost? These guys go all their lives. Why? They don't even think of retirement. The working men don't think of retirement quicker than they do. What's the reason?
Yeah, why can't you say that they want it?
Okay. You could say that they still don't feel they could do everything yet. In other words, more and more. But I think there's another determinant here, another factor working here.
Possible
you
is
see?
That the money is not the means anymore, it's the essential thing.
What do you mean?
The money, it's the essential
thing. Well, I think you get attached. You're right. See, the energy gets attached to the act also. A guy comes home from business. I did this, I did that. Wow, what's the act of me? The act of making money itself becomes very great. There's one point I forgot, we should have mentioned in the beginning. Let me just go down now. The point is, what we're saying is, the question is, what area are we analyzing? We're analyzing the area of wealth, right? But you'll tell me wealth is a practical thing, you see? We're analyzing this phenomena. The phenomena is this. Let's say you take the wealthiest guy. You say, look, you're a wealthy man. Now, what could you have out of life? You have this, you have that. Tell him like this. I'll take away all your wealth, and I'll give you everything that you'll ever want. Will the guy want it? Will the guy do it? Definitely not. You see?
Right.
That's the
odd.
So this is the base for the phenomena that we're analyzing. I should have mentioned in the beginning. The base for the phenomena is analyzing why a person would make this decision. You tell the guy, look, what do you need? You have your house, you have your car, you have your this, you have that. I'll give you all these things. Just give me all your wealth. Will the guy do it? Never. So you see that there's something else besides the utility of the wealth itself that's driving the man. See, this is the proof that there's something besides the utility. If it's just the utility, to say, okay, give me your millions, and I'll make sure whatever you want to go take a plane to Africa, sign a check, we'll take care of all the things. Give them the commodities. Nah, the commodities will never accept. See, the wealth itself. Why? Because of the fantasy. See, the commodity itself doesn't have any fantasy. It just has the commodity.
Oh, whatever. Commodity can be turned into action.
That's right.
Action is no room for fantasy.
That's right. But here he has the potential, this great story. See, this is the fantasy. Okay. Now, so I say there's one more point. See, when a person says that he's wealthy, true, that he has the potential to do a lot of things and the fantasy to do everything, right? But there's one more point. You'll notice that people who are wealthy also consider themselves, let me put it this way. A person who made it himself, he made the wealth himself, right? Would he, let's say we could undo your life and you will have the same amount of money that you have now, right? Let's get another experiment. We can undo your life, have the same amount of money you have now, but you will not have earned it. It will have been given to you as a present. Would the guy want to do that? Would the person want to do that? Never, never. Why never? Right. Think of it like this. So the making of the money itself reflects on his abilities. So the thing is this, that the greatness, it's an interesting thing. But this is what happens. The fantasy, in other words, he assumes that most people, when a person makes it himself, he walks around with a feather in his cap. Why? Because he considers himself very intelligent. Intelligent, for some reason, very intelligent. You see? Like I know Barton's client, anybody he'd see, he would always tell them the story. He'd sit them right down and tell them, you want to hear the story of my success. sit down and start the whole story. The great story, the great event, you see. Why? Because the person really thinks that he has a tremendous amount of knowledge. Yet, nevertheless, we see when we talk to him, talk to many wealthy people, we find they're even dense. Dense. So obviously this art, although it is an art, has nothing to do with intelligence. You see? Or very little to do with intelligence, because we find people who have accumulated a tremendous amount of wealth, and yet we finally speak to them. They are less intelligent, thick-skulled, and less intelligent than a simple person is. I don't know, a person is a teacher in a public school or whatever, a menial job, you know, a regular job. Right? Yet this person considers himself far more intelligent than those other people who haven't amassed this great wealth. Correct? Okay. Why? Why is it so? Why? All right. Before we go into why, let's say one thing. Definitely the activity becomes endowed with the quality of intelligence. The person thinks that this is really an intelligent thing, correct? And he's really brilliant because he's able to do this. Right? Okay. Now, since the activity becomes one of brilliance, so therefore we can understand why he must go on every day doing it. Because every day when he does it, this shows that he really is a great person. You see? This shows that he really is an intelligent person. Well, another business deal, and look, I pull through this and pull through that. It feeds the ego even more. See, it feeds the ego, the fantasy even more. You understand what I mean? That he is definitely very great because he's constantly pulling off these deals. He's constantly being able to do this, right? But the question is this. Is there an interrelation between the two fantasies, or are they two separate fantasies? Do you know what I mean? In other words, one fantasy is the fact that he has the money to do everything. That's one. First thing we spoke about. Then the second thing is the activity. The humility is brought in there too. Then the second thing is the activity. The activity of accruing the wealth. Also, I'm a great guy, an intelligent guy. I keep on accruing the wealth, right? Are they related or are they not related? You understand what I mean? There's two things. No, we asked the guy. There's two questions we asked the guy. The first question we asked him like this. Say, look, my friend, take away all your wealth. You can have all the commodities you want. Nah, don't want it. Why doesn't he want it? Because he has to have the fantasies. Second thing is like this. You can have all your wealth, but you will not have made it by yourself. Nah, I don't want that. Why? Because there's another fantasy. I made it. I'm a chacham. I made it. You see? Ah. Now the question is, are these two fantasies related, or are they just two separate things? You understand what I mean? Now I say that they must be related for one reason. Why? Because why should a person attribute to the activity of wealth so much intelligence when it doesn't warrant it? I mean, people do other activities in their lives, and yet they don't attribute a fantastic intelligence to it. Right? People learn many things. Let's say many jobs that a person has. A carpenter. Carpenter, really, when I saw this guy in the yeshiva come to yeshiva, I mean, there's a certain amount of intelligence there. You figure out this very different points. It's intelligence. It could be, and possibly even more intelligence than a big business deal. You see? But the point is, because the business deal has emotions are involved. See, emotions, how to get a different type of thing. Not necessarily intellect. You understand what I mean? Huh?
Probably just projection.
Huh? Yeah, he senses, or he knows how to bully the guy around, and knows how to make the guy feel if he doesn't have this deal, he's lost. Different things, you know, fooling. It's a different type. It's not really pure intelligence. It's a different type of thing. But there's no reason to assume that this activity warrants greater intelligence than another activity. So why is the person convinced that this activity warrants so much intelligence? What's the answer? Very good. See? Again, of course, just to give another illustration before I get the answer. The guy, like, you'll notice that big businessmen who sit on school boards, for instance, educational boards, they will always assume that their opinion is far superior.
Right?
Why? Can't you go to them and say, my dear friend, you are in the art of making money. Granted, you have knowledge in that area, but perhaps in this area you don't have any knowledge, right? No, can't accept that. No, every area. What's every area? He's a master in every area. How did he become a master in every area? Because he sold potatoes. What's the reason? The reason is this. The reason is that, you see, the thing, having the money itself gives all the fantasies. Which fantasies do you give? The fantasy of the great, phenomenal Superman, right? So therefore, the making itself becomes an act of the Superman. You understand what I mean? In other words, the having of the wealth gives the guy the fantasy he can do everything, right? Once you have the fantasy, you can do everything. So therefore, you're Superman, right? Now, the act that leads to a Superman also becomes a super act. You see? So therefore, he assumes that he can do the act that makes you a Superman. He can do anything. Yeah, that's why there's no area of knowledge where he would be too humble and think that his opinion is worthless. Do you follow? Because he has done the act of all acts. He has done the super act. You see, the Superman act. So therefore, he assumes that he has knowledge in every area. That's why he has to go into business every day. Because going into business every day is the act of the Superman. You see, that's the act of, that becomes the act of the Superman. Because the having the money is the makes the guy gives the guy the multi fantasies, which means that he's great, he's a super human being, right? And the act itself becomes a fantasy. Now, if the guy can do this super act, so a little thing like question of education, that's nothing. You see, that's why the wealth gives the guy the fantasy that he could do anything in any area. His intelligence is important in any area. His opinion must be accepted. You see? And that's why going into the office every day is the act of the Superman. That continues. He's not retired. In the past. He's not a has-been. He is right now the great Superman. That's right. That's part of being able to do everything. Once he can do everything, then he can be best in any area. Of course, he's not going to say reality does come in. He's not going to say he's a great mathematician. He knows there's no mathematics. He's not going to say he's a great physicist. There's no physics.
It could be.
Right. That's right. But in the areas where you don't have the concrete, like areas like education, we have to make decisions where people really can't prove things, you see, there he's 100%. Psychology, right in there. Philosophy, that's it, baby. Religion, I got it. Anywheres, any place, any time. Right. That's right. Honorary degree. What? What about you? You see? Now we're right. Very good. What is intellect? What is intellect? Good. One more. That's right. He's right. I knew there's something. One point is, what is intellect? Now, intellect, emotionally, intellect also caters to the Superman. Because I'm an intellectual. I can know everything, right? Knowing everything is also a super thing, right? Now, the guy confuses the one super activity with the, because since he does the activity that leads to the Superman, so he includes intellectuality there too, because intellectuality is a super activity. You understand what I mean? No, I guess. The thing is, I guess, the question is, why the guy thinks he's a chacham, right? Why can't the guy say like this? Let the guy say, look, it's true, I have the act, the super act, right? But when it comes to intellence, that I can't do. That's right. So it means he has to recognize intelligence as part of superactivity. He has to recognize, everybody inherently recognizes intelligence. As the intelligence is always recognized as a superactivity. So he has to say intelligence is great. Right. He must accept intelligence is great. Once intelligence is great, he has that greatness because he's the guy that has all the greatness.
See?
Two steps. That's right. It works like this. The having the money is the Superman, right? The act itself is a super act. Intelligence is a super act, and I can do the super act, so therefore I'm intelligent. That's the way it goes. Okay. Now we have to understand like this. Why does he identify intelligence with the act? Because he believes that intelligence is a super thing.
Right.
And he believes he's a Superman, right? So therefore intelligence must be this. This must be intelligence.
Right, but the point is both of those things come together.
So let's review basically what we have so far. Let's review how it works. How does it go? It goes like this. Having the potential gives the guy the fantasy that he could do everything, right? The fantasy that he could do everything goes back to childhood, to the fantasy of the narcissistic state where he's great, unlimited greatness, right? Therefore, the act that puts people in such a state must be a very great act, right? Now, intelligence is greatness. Right? So therefore, this act must have intelligence. You see? So therefore, he must be super intelligent. You understand what I mean? For some reason, you should know, intelligence is recognized universally as really the super act. Why this is so, we have to go into. But that's definitely so, that people recognize intelligence as a tremendous thing. That's power. Ain't nobody with chacham kamaycha. That's it. Money is potential pleasure. Now, what does potential pleasure mean? It means it gives the guy the ability to fantasize 50,000 ways about the money, right? Question is, why doesn't he want to put this into reality? Every fantasy wants reality. We said, except this fantasy doesn't want reality. Because this fantasy wants to remain in this form, because this gives him an additional factor. The factor being that he could do everything. You see, once he does something, then he can't do everything anymore. So being able to do everything is the... being able to cater to the childhood fantasy that he can do everything. Now, once this is the state of being able to do everything, this is the narcissistic state, right? Now, therefore, the act that leads to the state must be the great act. Right? Must be the great act. Now, isn't intelligence really the only great thing? Because stupidity and accidental degrees is nothing. Intelligence is the only great thing, right? So therefore, he must be doing this through a tremendous amount of intelligence. Therefore, he must be extremely intelligent. Right? Okay. We should learn something from this. We should learn one thing. Namely, I don't know if you said this. Namely, that whenever you meet an individual who is in this situation, in other words, who is involved in the irrationality, we must know what his psychological state of mind is and be aware of it, because we have shown what it is. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, and don't think there are any exceptions, because many times in the surface it looks like exceptions. Oh, I realize that I am very, I really have no knowledge in this area, of course, but these are only statements. But how his emotions work is quite different, you see? You have to be very, very careful. Part of the humility, which is another fantasy. But the emotion, if insofar as he does these actions, these irrational actions, we must know that he's living an irrational life. And if he's living an irrational life, it must be these irrational factors that have captivated him, that have caught him. I mean, he's trapped by these irrational things. Therefore, we know that this is there, and don't ever fool yourself that it's not. Are there any other fantasies involved in this one phenomenon? I think you really gain once you understand it. And you feel like, you really see what it is. You see exactly what it is. But let's see if there are any other fantasies involved in this area. Any other fantasies? I mean, that's where the security comes from. Very good. That's where the security comes from. That's a good point. The security comes from the same thing. That since he can do anything, right? So therefore, any situation he can get himself out of. That's why he really feels secure. Why does the wealthy man feel secure? It's not a realistic 90%, 80% security. Because I'll tell you why. Because he could never feel secure, since we've shown that he's only secure insofar as the means are concerned, but he's not secure insofar as the end is concerned. So how can a guy feel secure? It's impossible. The answer is the security is that I can do anything. That's what the security is based on. So therefore he feels, he has the feeling of security. Because the only thing he really has is a certain percentage insofar as the means is concerned, which means the guy is really, in terms of his real pleasure, he's really helpless. He's really helpless. But he feels secure because of the emotion that he can do anything. That's what gives him the security.
That's the real fool.
That's the real fool. So explain one more thing also. We often wonder why millionaires, still deal in the same relative value as the poor person. In other words, you'd figure like this, that the poor guy, to me, if I lose a dollar, it's a certain percentage of my wealth, right? A dollar, let's say, is 1/1,000th of my wealth, right? So like that, right? Okay. So therefore, for the guy's a millionaire, for him to lose 1/1,000th of his wealth means $1,000. Right? To lose $1,000. Now, I am sure that if I lost a dollar, I would not feel as bad as if a millionaire lost $1,000. Right? Why should it bother? In other words, why should you find wealthy people that complain about prices? In other words, when they go to buy a coat, they won't say, "Look, I go to buy a coat. I spend, let's say, 1/20th of my month's salary on a coat." Right? But when they go to buy a coat, they're not going to say, "I'll spend 1/20. I'll be happy. Oh, a coat costs $2,000. Fine, wrap it up. There's nothing. I can afford it." Guy's not going to say, "One second. What do you mean $2,000? $200. I saw the coat down the road. $200. I won't pay more than $200." Why? They deal with money. I have to pay a bill. I got to pay an $800 bill. He talks about the $800 in the same sense as the poor guy. His values. Why? It should be proportional to the amount of money that he has. Like a guy told me, he says he was making long distance calls on his father's phone. A wealthy guy was making very long distance calls, a lot of expenses. So the father got upset. It's costing hundreds of dollars. But to him, it's like, for me, less than a penny. Why should the standards should change? As a guy gets wealthier, all the standards of expenditure should change. But they still remain the same. Why is that so? In other words, the money system, his money system, he should be operating a different money system than the regular guy. But he's not. He's operating the same system. By the way, that's why Plato says the only guy that can enjoy money is the guy that inherited it, not the guy that made it. Because the guy that inherited it doesn't have the disease, but the guy that made it must have the illness. If he has that illness, then he can't enjoy it. Okay, so I'm not talking about guys who are rational. A guy might have inherited money and be rational about it, you know? Or a guy might have different... I'm talking about the irrationality of money. And we see that the people who have it, we often wonder, why is it that they deal in the same standard, the same scale, same money scale as the average guy? The answer is very simple. Why? because they really need this money scale, because they owe their power to the money scale. Don't you understand? In other words, the whole reason why they have this unbelievable power is because the nickel is worth what it is. Because 50 cents to get a loaf of bread. If a loaf of bread would be $1,000, then the whole money scale's gone. Yes. Then they're nothing. You see? So therefore, they have a strict adherence to the money scale, and they're constantly aware about the money scale. Because this scale is what makes their narcissism. This scale is what makes their greatness. The scale is the basis for the whole greatness. Once you take away the scale, it's just relative. Okay, he's more, I have less. But it's all a relative thing. It's just practicality. Practicality is not what the guy's after. That's right. The price goes up. He has less potential. Now it's putting down the money scale. Although, when the prices go up, it goes up evenly, so he still feels his head. You see? But the point is, if he's going to deal, let's say, for instance, the wealthy guy would have to pay $50 for a loaf of bread, and I come in and pay 50 cents, then he wouldn't be wealthy anymore. See, the scale is what makes him, the scale is what gives him his power. Because that's why he has to operate with the same scale, because that scale is what gives him the power. You see?
It maintains his separation.
It maintains the whole fantasy, the whole thing. It's based... Right. His scale must be implanted and embedded in his mind, because that scale is what makes him. Without that scale, he's nothing. That's true. There's no question about it. If the guy gets cheated, it's a double thing. If the guy gets cheated, he feels blood to the ego. So, proportion to himself, he doesn't have the ability. The fantasies are, all the ability for the fantasies are based upon the value of money. The scale, the value of money. That's what gives him the whole power, right? Now, once that scale starts changing, so therefore the fantasy starts infringing on the fantasies. You see? That's why he must have the scales. So we have two determinants. There's the fantasies of pleasure, right? Which is really the id. And then then there's something else. Then there's the narcissism, the ego, the superego. The guy is a superman, you see? Caters to the ego ideal of superman. That's two determinants. You should know, and the wealthy man, the id also plays a role. Definitely plays a role, because he has fantasies to get anything he wants. That's also a factor. Can't say there's no factor. Something. But the second thing is the ego ideal. The combination of ego ideal and id, two things together. Okay? What about his relationship with others?
Well, it's always the best.
How is it? Always the best, right? I used to flip up. Didn't flip. So the poor, you see, his relationship is like this. The poor, the fact that the poor, everybody, you notice a wealthy man is convinced, also has another fantasy, he's convinced that everybody wants what he has. He says, yeah, come on, it's all money, it's the whole thing, you see. So why? What is this fantasy? Why does he have to have this? Why does he have to have this? The thing is worth having, and also it puts him in this, realistically puts him in the position of the Superman. This really, you see, this really substantiates the fantasy. Because it shows that everybody wants to be the way, then that is the Superman. That's the father. Everybody wants to be the father, right? Ah, now he is the father because everybody wants to be what he is, so he is the Superman. See, this is from the poor, he gets the substantiation of his fantasy. The fact that everybody wants to be that way gives him the substantiation of the fantasy. Therefore, this justifies the fantasy in reality. To justify the fantasy in reality. Okay, that's justification in reality. But there's another justification in reality. See, the mind can't live on fantasies alone. The mind can't live on fantasies alone. If it's all fantasies, it falls apart. So there always has to be a justification in reality. Where does justification in reality come from for the wealthy man? There's a tremendous justification in reality. He mentioned it before. What's justification in reality?
He needs it.
He'll convince himself. It's a need. I must have this. You see, he'll talk about money as if he really has a need for money. You see? I need this. I have to support a family. I have responsibilities. You see? Why? Because to say that I have fantasies... Want to get another thing? Right. So to say that I have fantasies, this is absurd. A guy can walk around and say, I have a tremendous need in fantasies. It's ridiculous. A guy can't do that, you see? So the guy has to say that he has a need in reality. So therefore, there is a bit of reality there, because let's face it, money is something which you use to buy commodities, right? So it does have a basis in reality. Now it takes this little basis in reality and exaggerates it tremendously, you see, in order to show that he is really in the world of reality, because he can't maintain openly that he's in the world of fantasy. That's why when I heard that there's another determinant. There's one more determinant. Maybe more than one more, but this is different. There's such a thing as an instinct of mastery. There's an instinct of mastery in man.
a desire to master the situation. This also is known in psychology, that when a child, as a child grows older, he tries to master the different situations that he finds himself in. An instinct? No, it's something else. Yeah, something else. I don't know, it's a basic instinct. What it is, no one knows. It's like, the distinction is like this. A child, for instance, when he's playing with something, and can't put things in the way they want it, they get very upset. There's nothing to do with it. They're not thinking of Superman. No reflection on the self. It's a pure instinct directed towards the desire to master the external world.
Not the ego.
You see? It's not the ego at all. Not the ego. It's an instinct for mastery. Yeah. Now that's I can't go into the proofs now. I'm going to refer to you. Different areas, but I can't go into proofs now. Now the instinct for mastery is that he should be in control of the situation. That's why some want to say that knowledge also has to do with that, because when you master knowledge, you have an instinct of mastery. Yeah, I say that there is such a factor there, but I'm not so sure that this is the only factor that exists in knowledge, because knowledge could be appreciation, not mastery. But at any rate, mastery means the desire to master, to be able to totally control the situation. Sadism is where the instinct of mastery combines with the sexual instincts. Yeah. Okay. But it's a basic instinct of man. So things like this. Wealth also caters to that instinct. Because in wealth, there is he has the fantasy of mastery. Because he has independence, there's a reality of independence, a certain amount of independence. Although really he isn't independent. Why? Because all his business deals depend on other people. You see? But the fact remains that people kowtow to him. Since people kowtow to him, so therefore he gets the feeling of being the master. You see? That's why he gets the feeling of independence. Actually, nobody's independent. Because what does independence mean? It means that you close shop, close business, you're independent. But the moment you have to do a business deal, you're dependent on the guys you're going to do the deal with. You're dependent on your workers. You're dependent on everybody coming across. Just as dependent as anybody else. There's no real independence. The reason why he thinks he's independent is because of the fact that since people desire this, they're also under the same fantasy. And since they're under that fantasy, so therefore they cat out to the guy. So therefore, this caters to his instinct of mastery. You follow? There's one more, but this one is from Psych. You have to know it. The story. What is the story?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We'll just mention it briefly. Piled high and deep. Right? BSMS PhD. Okay, we'll just give Russia Tavis allusions to it. But that's another tremendous instinct for man also. Also tremendous instinct. So you see that the what? I don't know. It's hard to know. But it's definitely determinant. Definitely determinant. Now think of the what? It's a determinant, it's a factor, it plays a role. You could tell though how much it plays a role. I would say if the person enjoys, like people what? Yeah, right. Counting the money, looking at the money, constantly going over the money. That is the instinct. That is that instinct. You see? Now, it could be some people might not have it to that degree. You see, to that great degree, they don't have to count it that often. So that's possible. But nevertheless, right, safety deposit, right. So therefore, let's summarize what we have over here. What do we have? Let's get we'll divide it into two points: the instinctive drives. And then also the instinctive drives. Well, let's put it this way. There's instinctive drives. Let's take the instincts and then the reality, because the reality is from the ego. So the instinctive drives come from this. First the id, pleasure, right? First the id, you have the pleasures. Then what else do you have? Then after the pleasure, what do you have? Then you have the, from the id also you have the instinct of mastery, right? And also you have the desire for storing. That's three from the id. Then you have the superego. From the superego, you have the greatness, right? That's the greatness. Okay. Then you have substantiations from reality, from the ego. Substantiations from the ego come in two ways. One is it's a real need, because there is such a thing as a need for money. There is a need. Of course, he's not in this. He's far away from this realm, but he can exaggerate himself, consider himself as in that need, right? So he has the reality of the need, and then the fact that other people act in a way towards him, you see, which substantiates his fantasies. That sums him up. Okay? Yeah, that's right. That's why, yeah. Now the results are, in order to have this, he must also keep the same money standard, the same money scale, right? I know that must have the same money scale. Therefore, right. Then we said, we mentioned, but the money scale has two factors. First of all, they must have the money scale in order to, the money scale has two things. In order to be able to be in the position of fantasies, the money scale is necessary. That's the base of the whole thing, right? And secondly, getting cheated.
That's the money scale.
But getting cheated out of the money scale is a blow to the ego also, a blow to the narcissistic ego, right? Okay. So there's the, again, here is the, first there is the fantasies, right, the id. And then there is the superego, and the superego has two ways. It's in having the money and in the making of the money, right? A lot of times people, they say he has a lot of power. That's power. What is power? Power is mastery. Yeah, power. Power is mastery. Well, that's it. Well, power, it's two things. But it's also mastery. Power means you have mastery. Like, for instance, you have guys that don't have money, but they have power. So they have mastery. See? Ah, now, the thing is that that in wealth, really, often wonder, what kind of power does he have? What a real power? I mean, can't do anything, can't break the laws. Yeah, that's it. See, in a certain area, it caters to that instinct of mastery. That's what it caters to the instinct of mastery. The money scale is the basis in reality for this whole fantasy. The fact that people act in a way as if he's right satisfies the fantasy. That's why they say that was the story with Alexander the Great and Diogenes. They came to Diogenes and said, okay, what do you want? Anything you want, I'll get you. You philosopher. He says, move out of the way. You're blocking the sun. So that's the destruction. That's the destruction of the guy. Why? Because you destroy his fantasies right there. So you don't act in a way that substantiates that. That's the blow. Yeah. What? The frugality, the cheapness, the cheapness is two types of cheapness. Now we can see why. One type of cheapness is a really penny-pinching cheapness. See, that comes from the hoarding. That's the penny-pinching cheapness. But there's another kind of cheapness. The cheapness where he's in line with the scale. We must differentiate into two types of cheapness here. There's two halachas and stinginess. Okay? Can I explain why because of inflation people aren't giving donations anymore? It's because of the loss in narcissism, not because of the loss in commodities. His loss is much greater. Yeah. The coins is the real proof. That's why coin collectors have to a great degree. That's the basic instinct of coin collecting.
Definitely.
Question is, the guy that saves his little collection, let's say he has $1,000 worth of coins. Well, he won't take $1,000 for those coins. Never. No. Not as good as those little pennies. Because those little coins serve another purpose altogether. It's true, what? It's true that it has value. in terms of dollars. But it has more value in terms of the actual, what it represents, right? The representation is much greater. You know, a serious guy, a guy that's seriously ill is a guy that made his fortune coin collecting. Look out for him. Now we should try to analyze these different types of wealth, the way it's expressed. Like, some people's wealth is expressed in big houses. They have to have big, tremendous houses, right? Other people on the contrary live very poorly. Right? Now we have to know which factors are more predominant in each guy that it should cause this expression. You see? Okay? Right? What? Once we have all the factors, we should be able to identify the factors that are being expressed in each case, right? Okay. Now the guy that... What? Once we have the factors, we should be able to demonstrate from each guy's life which factors are more predominant, which ones is expressing in the wealth, because there are a lot of factors, a lot of determinants. Which determinant is really being expressed, right? Okay, so which one should we take first? Take the guy that has let's take the guy with the big house, right? The guy with the big house, the big house serves two functions. First of all, it serves an id, right? Pleasure. But there's something else that it serves, you see? Not only, it doesn't serve only pleasure, but it serves the, what do you call it? What?
The ego.
It serves the ego, right. Because it's a demonstration of the fact that he is, General things, flesh. In other words, the one that has to be known that he has the great thing. You see? That's the ego. You see, really, a person like that is, I would say, is not as secure. Why? Because, you see, he must have the substantiation from the people in order to... he's dependent. He's more dependent, you see? Right. See, he must have the substantiation from the people. The one who needs it... Yeah, right. That guy's a little weak. That guy has to be weak. Because he needs substantiation constantly. He has to prove that he's... he has to have people... In other words, he really has a little bit... in his unconscious, an element of doubt. Maybe there's really all both. See? So he needs a substantiation constantly supports him that this is really the great thing. He really is the great guy. he's really weaker. The guy that doesn't need that is more convinced. Doesn't need that. He's more secure. See? Okay. Now, what about the guy? So there's three guys. We really should have three guys. The guy that lives really poorly, the guy that lives normally but has the enjoys the wealth, and then there's the guy that lives with a splash, right? The guy that lives with a splash is fine. The guy that lives normally doesn't have that need, right? Doesn't need the substantiation. He's much more much more stable, right? But in other words, he doesn't need substantiation because he's convinced already. If he enjoys it, right? Then there's the guy this guy gets what he enjoys, but then there's the guy that doesn't get what he enjoys also.
The frugal guy.
Now the frugal guy is insecure in with the frugal guy has two other possibilities. First of all, there's the hoarding, right? He's the hoarder. And secondly, another point also. What?
He's damn cheap.
I'd say he has anxiety over his narcissism. Anxiety over the narcissism. In other words, see what keeps the thing. What keeps the whole? What's the stool? What's the base of the whole thing? The basis is the system, right? The monetary system. Now this guy has anxiety over his narcissism, so therefore he has to constantly live within that the frugal system, you see, in order to maintain the fantasy. In other words, his mind is fixated to the system. He has to overemphasize the system because this is the insurance of the fantasy. So he has anxiety as far as the fantasy is concerned. You know what I mean? In other words, the fantasy of wealth, right? The fantasy that he gets from wealth, right?
Yeah.
Now, what is the base of the fantasies? It's the money system, right?
Right.
The monetary system, right? Right? Now, therefore, if he should let that monetary system go, therefore he's going to lose the whole thing, right? Start spending, so he's going to lose the whole thing because it's going to start going, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, he has anxiety concerning the loss of the narcissism, right? So therefore, he has anxiety concerning that narcissism. So he has to constantly live within this system, within the frugal system, in order to ensure the fact that he still has the fantasies.